This meeting is now being recorded.
Thank you very much, staff, and welcome everyone to this 8th meeting of the Cross-Community Working Group on Enhancing ICANN's Accountability Workstream 2 Human Rights Subgroup on October 11th at 1900 UTC. Staff, would you please be so kind to take a roll call from the Adobe room? And would anyone who is only in the phone bridge please let themselves be known so that their names get recorded in the log? And does anyone have a update to their statement of interest? No? Then before we go into a discussion of the agenda, I would like to share my deep appreciation for the group and especially for the drafting team that have been working very hard and very constructively this week. I'd like to also appreciate all the input from all the participants who've already spent quite a lot of time here. If I look at the times at which emails get sent, I see people definitely do not only do this during their day at their work as their work. So we are trying to do something that has not been done before. There is not a model that has exactly been made for this. So we're really trying to invent something new, which means that no one also specifically knows how this should work. So together we're really finding out how this can and should work. So no one is right, no one is wrong, and everyone's opinion can help us progress. And I am sure we'll be able to make a lot of progress today as well. And as David McCauley has already said, some of the documents might be a bit messy, which really are a testament to the work in progress. But even that process, that messy process, is something that we will discuss. We have an agenda ahead of us with 5 different points. We're almost done with point one. Unless someone would like to add or change something, some points on the agenda. I don't see any hands. I don't see any comments on the agenda there. So I'd like to go forward with a short discussion, with the emphasis on short, on the discussion of working methods. I completely agree with the comment by David McCauley that the current Google Doc working document is quite a messy document. But I think that's testament to where we are in the process. It's a group of people thinking, deliberating, weighing positions, seeing what text is possible, seeing what text is not possible. Google Docs is allowing us to have a discussion in the comments, but that can be quite a flurry of discussions if not followed closely. So I hope we can work through this and find better solutions, but up to now this is what we have. I am also, of course, always very happy to think of other solutions. And I see Tatiana and Greg's hand are up, so they might even be able to already help us think through better solutions. Tatiana, please come in.
Thank you, Niels. Tatiana Chopina is speaking for the record. I would say that, yes, the document got very messy, and even for me right now it's nearly impossible to follow all the comments, also because I was the one who created the document, so they all are landing in my email, in my books, and it is sometimes hard to follow. But up to now, I don't know a better tool from my experience. I don't think that Wiki or anything will help right now, and let alone some things like Etherpad. What I would like to propose, and I already wrote an email to the group, that some of the discussions would be much more efficient if we have a call like on Skype or, I don't know, on any meeting platform, and discuss some of the things and write the minutes of these meetings or the notes and post them online so anyone could comment. I don't know if this would increase the workload, but certainly it will create the same level of transparency. But at least it will make the comments too, you know, less messy. So we could try to figure out what are the points of disagreement, why instead of commenting on Google Doc, you know, different times of the day, different time zones, and then sometimes it's hard to follow. So I do propose that this group, while this work is still in progress and we have a lot to do, but at least we started and we know where the points of disagreement are, where we can possibly agree, what are the hardest points of disagreement. I believe that if we have a call sometime next, like till the end of this week or beginning of next week, we might achieve a much better result without going through all these strings of comments. So this is just my proposal. Leave the Google Doc as a main drafting tool. Have a call. Write some notes from the call or minutes from the call and then work on this. I don't know if this would be welcomed by other participants of the group, but I certainly do see it as a kind of way forward. Thanks.
Thank you very much for that suggestion, Tatiana. Greg, please come in.
Thanks, Greg Shatton, for the record. I overall am a fan of Google Docs. I think, you know, this one particular instance, you know, probably more out of control than most Google Docs. So we're certainly kind of testing the outer limits of its usefulness. I think we probably also discovered a couple of management issues. I think there probably needs to be a little bit more consideration of process in using the Google Docs. So I think there are ways to, I think, if, you know, minor editing changes, and unfortunately most of the changes we have in ours are not minor editing changes, can be accepted to clean up the document. You know, the more things you leave in suggestion mode, the more cluttered up it gets. There are also ways to save, you know, it does have a history function, and you can also kind of save and move on to another version and, you know, retain all of the comments kind of historically. You can also copy threads of comments out and perhaps, you know, consider using footnotes for some comments or comments in the text in some cases. So I think there just need to be a little bit more creative. I think somewhat like democracy, Google Docs is the worst solution except for all the other ones. You know, wikis have their advantages too, but they're not collaborative and they don't show changes and they don't have a comment function except on a talk page. So that's or in the history listing, which are usually very short comments. So that's not a great solution, especially for a collaborative document. So I think that it's, you know, perhaps we just need to think about ways to kind of manage.
The host has left the meeting to speak with meeting support and will rejoin soon.
I hope meeting support is worth speaking to. I think that's I think that's the way. I also agree that, you know, using, if we have meetings, calls, and don't rely solely on the Google Doc for communication, that also helps because that can be used to clean up the substantive chatter that's in the sidebars as well, and then you get the document cleaned up. So I think we kind of have to move from version to version rather than, you know, ending up with a kind of a cumulative version that, you know, reflects every suggestion. This one just happened to, you know, go fairly quickly from empty to over full. So I don't have a better solution that doesn't involve Google Docs, and track changes on Word documents have a lot of the same problems in terms of clutter as well, plus you're dealing with a single document that you have to trade around, so that has, you know, it's not collaborative in that sense. So I wouldn't really go there. So that's my two cents on dealing with this. I think one last other thing is to make sure that everyone's working in suggestion mode. So, you know, a couple of things that is, you know, probably in retrospect better to bracket things you disagree with rather than cross them out, even if the cross out is just a suggestion. So it keeps everything a little bit more fluid. And another thing is that putting things in edit mode and then turning them a color is not the functional equivalent of putting them in suggestion mode, especially if they end up in the same color as somebody else's suggestion. So being kind of careful about technical accuracy in using Google Docs is also a way to avoid unnecessary confusion. Thanks.
Thank you very much, Greg, for those useful comments. I see Tijani's hand is up. Tijani, please come in.
Yes, thank you, Neil, and good afternoon, everyone. I know that Greg likes a lot Google Docs, and I expressed in one of the previous calls that Google Docs is not usable everywhere in the world. At the contrary, the wiki is very, we used it before. If you use the comment function, you will have all the comments visible for everyone. And with one pen holder at the face-to-face, at the calls, we decide on all the comments, if we accept them, if we integrate them, if we don't integrate them, and then integrate or don't integrate them into this version. And this is the concept of versions. In this case, we'll have every time after each call, we will have
Tijani is cutting out. That's a bit of a pity because.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, Tijani. We did not necessarily hear the last part of what you said, but I think we got the general gist of your point. We have been trying to work with ICANN staff to get more functionality on the wikis to allow for collaborative editing. Until now, we don't have that. So I'm afraid that using the wiki for collaborative editing right now is not a functionality that is supported. So I see Kavus' hand is up. Kavus, please come in.
Yes, thank you, everybody. I joined Tijani that I am not very comfortable with Google Documents. We have had voters in one with three main proposals, plus so many hours and so many emails and so many things, but almost nothing or little of Google Docs. I don't know what happened that all of a sudden I protesting to everything turned to the Google document. I have serious difficulty with that, number one. Number two, people, Neil, asking for the floor, and they speak and speak and speak, putting words and words together, but without any concrete proposal. Just generalities, several things, back and forth, and so on and so forth. If you put what they said, you don't find any concrete proposal to progress the work. Somebody says that don't discuss anything now, let it next week. Why? What is the usefulness of today, if you want to do it next week? And then, many of those comments in the Google Docs are totally not useful. The second page from the worker stream one. I don't want to name anybody, but I don't see none of them giving any way forward. We look to all of us to help you to go forward. Hello?
Yes, Kavus. Thank you very much for that support.
I'm sorry because I was disconnected, but that is what I want to say. No Google Docs, please. Let us have a standard either wiki or attachment to your document, and we request distinguished colleagues to kindly propose a concrete suggestion for the way forward, but not talking of generality, not talking of philosophy. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Tavus. And I think in that line, we should continue to some real concrete work that has been worked on. And of course, I've been sending you all the documents or proposals that have been proposed. And I will ensure that I'll keep sending you everything, so you don't need to use Google Docs if you're not comfortable with that. So let's go to agenda point 3, an analysis and discussion of the proposed definition of applicable law, a proposed definition that has been made by David McCauley. Now, David, would you like to give provide some context to the work you've been doing and the definition you've been giving us?
Yes, thank you, Niels. I'm happy to. It's David McCauley for the transcript. As I recall, during last week's call, I made a point about applicable law. I forget exactly what it was now, but Niels, at the end thereafter, you asked if I would take a stab at writing something down to describe my understanding of applicable law, and that's what prompted me to come up with that email that was a little bit longer than it perhaps needed to be, and so that's what then led to me trying to boil it down to something shorter today. But I did try and take a stab at what my understanding of applicable law was as it's used in the bylaw in the core values. And I would simply say that it's my belief, and I understand maybe not everybody will agree with this, but it's my belief that applicable law is discernible when there is a question on the floor. But when there's not a question on the floor, it's a large body and it's not easily, I think it would defy codification and so on. But I do believe it's a real concept, it's a real thing that applies, and that's why the bylaw uses it twice. So that's really where I was coming from. Thanks, Neil.
Thank you very much, David, for that explanation, and thank you very much for drafting this and being so proactive about this. This is exactly the spirit that we need. So now I'm looking forward to opinions about this text. How do we feel this as an explanation of applicable law? I see Cavus' hand is up. I see Nigel is typing. So, Cavus, please come in.
Yes. David, thank you very much. It is a good start. I suggest that we take this text, put it on consultation and comment for addition, amendment, changes, improvement, and so on and so forth. This is some, let us say, working definition or description, and we invite everybody to comment on that in the form of revision marks, in red lines, and so on and so forth. It starts from something. Thank you.
Cavus, I'm very sorry, but the reception was extremely bad, so I'm not sure if I completely heard what you what you said. I'm pretty sure. I did not hear.
Yes. I said, thank you very much, David. This is a good start. I suggest that we take as a element that we work on that, amend that, change that, improve that with red line and with revision mark. That is what I said. I hope this time you have heard me. Thank you.
We have heard you, Cavus. Thank you very much. And indeed, this is a first reading, so so we're going ahead, but we'll still leave it open for discussion. I see a queue is forming. Nigel, please come in.
Okay, let me see. I'm trying to do this on Adobe for a change. Can I just take a confirmation as to whether or not the audio is acceptable?
Confirmed. Very acceptable. Swimmingly.
Okay, great. Thank you. This is the first time I've ever used the microphone on the laptop in about I don't know how many decades of involving ICANN working groups. Well, as you probably remember, I was quite vocal and overruled in the adoption of this particular term of art in the bylaw. But I regret to say that I believe that any court that was charged with construing the bylaws would look at this and say it was the intention of the bylaw drafter to exclude all international law and law that applies only to state actors by the bylaw. So my submission, it's actually quite simple, and it doesn't actually hurt us too much. But my submission to start with is that applicable law, there are no human rights laws applicable to ICANN because, as mirrors something that's going on in the jurisdiction working group, ICANN is not subject to public law. ICANN is, and that's as we use the term in the UK. I believe that you don't use the term in the US in the same way. But public law is the law that applies to government actors, to state actors. So human rights law does not apply to ICANN in any way, shape or form, unless, as we come back to the Ruggie principles, or the concept of something like the Ruggie principles, unless we voluntarily adopt those particular aspects of them that seem most relevant and useful to our work. And I've got a list of about four of them. Other people may have a much wider list. So that's my position on this.
Thank you very much for that point, Nigel. I see Tatiana is responding in the chat, but she might also want to do that in the queue. I see a queue forming as well. Greg, please come in.
Thanks, Greg Shatman, again, for the record. I think this is a very good definition of applicable law at a high level and generic context. I think that it's something that we would need to, I would like to try to make more concrete, if we could, without getting, well, I think I agree that with the last sentence that it alludes cataloging. I think it can be made a little bit more clear how it would apply in this context or overall context as to, you know, what laws would apply. Secondly, I agree with Tatiana rather than Nigel that while there are international laws that apply only to the actions of states, there are laws that apply to the actions of entities and individuals that basically bring down the treaties and laws of the states to make them applicable to and govern the actions of entities and individuals. I circulated some weeks ago a chart which I commandeered, which essentially showed some concordance, if you will, between the U.S. Constitutional rights, which apply only to the U.S. government and the states, in spite of Ted Cruz's belief that it somehow would apply to ICANN until October 1st, but shows that where these, you know, can be essentially found in laws that do apply to private actors. You know, there are plenty of civil rights and anti-discrimination laws, for instance, at the federal and state level that are essentially human rights laws. So there's no lack of those. And in essence, if we really did want to understand, and maybe it's out of scope of this group and maybe it's not, but it would be a good piece of work to understand under the current regime and jurisdictions that we're talking about, which laws that are human rights laws or that, you know, can be seen as concordant to the human rights treaties actually do apply. In the end, to get real clarity around what this bylaw means, that is necessary work. And it, you know, it may come only if there is a dispute about which laws are applicable and which are not. But it would also not be a bad idea to consider getting into it now as well. I don't think it would be Herculean. Perhaps it would be semi-Herculean. Thanks.
Thank you very much, Greg. I see Jorge's hand is up. Jorge, please come in.
Hello, good evening. Do you hear me okay?
Yes, we hear you very well. Great to hear you. Welcome, Jorge.
Hello. Hello, everybody. I was listening to David Macaulay's explanation, and first of all, I would like to thank him for coming up with this definition. I'm of the opinion that this is possibly a good basis. However, I have some concern with what Nigel explained before, that applicable law would mean that without any voluntary commitment, there is no real effect for ICANN. So I would like to have more clarity on that, because as I understand the human rights core value, it is really meant to make a commitment to respect human rights. So applicable law, in my view, shouldn't be construed in a way that it empties the meaning of this human rights commitment. And I think that, as David put in his definition, the specific meaning of applicable law will change with every case and with every situation. And it would be probably a waste of time to try to come up with all possible scenarios of what that applicable law could mean in different jurisdictions, which could be of relevance to ICANN. And finally, as I think I already mentioned a last call, I think that it would be good to compare the work or the definition we are developing with what is the opinion from ICANN Legal, because in the end, applicable law is something we can find in the bylaws and in other important documents applicable to ICANN. And they probably have an idea on how they construe this concept. So their opinion, I think, would be quite useful, at least to know it and to consider it during our work. Thank you.
Thank you, Jorge. I think so. What we see now is different ideas. First, there was the comment from Cavus that this seems and which was echoed by others, that this seems really a good start to work on. So let's not repeat that. This is a very good text that we can build on. So I'll definitely invite comments on this text this week during the on the mailing list. Subsequently, I think it would be good if we indeed get also an opinion of this of ICANN Legal to see if this is in line with their understanding. And with this, I would slowly try to move to ending up the discussion on this first reading of this text. But I definitely do not want to skip the people in the queue. So I see, Nigel, is that an old hand or a new hand? That's an old hand, great. Cavus, please come in.
Yes. Now I take the
the discussions to the direction that, yes, this is something that we have, let's work on that. And from the discussion, I understood what Nigel said, if I understood it correctly, I understood the, in addition to what Jorge said, another thing that the applicable law means in practice that we exclude all international law. I don't know whether that is the view of everybody or this is the understanding of Nigel, but it is not the the question I raised. My question is that I heard that the people saying that applicable law is voluntarily, but not obligatory or mandatory. Could we add some discussion that in relation to the applicable law, whatever definition becomes the second step or another dimension of that, this it would be a voluntarily basis or on an obligatory or mandatory basis. And that we build up on that perhaps to come something. And then the issue of Nigel says whether it implicitly exclude any international law and just refer to law is applicable in the area that I can operate in. California, Singapore, Turkey, China, Geneva, according to the case. Most of them, 95% is California, but the others are also. It's an example that you have given or someone else is that so. My question is that discussing the voluntary, optional, or mandatory application of that. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Kavus. I think the text on the screen is already making some statements or having a position on that. So I would like to move this discussion at this first reading now to the list, because I also want to give our eyes some chance to have a glance over the work done by the other parts of the drafting team. And there I would like to ask ICANN staff to pull up the Word document that we send around. And I'd like to ask Jorge, Greg, Tatiana, and Matthew to guide us through the different parts of the document. So what has been done is that the structure, as was introduced at the text that we discussed last week, which was largely based on Ruggie, the structure has been kept, but another approach has been sought. And let's see what the different views from the people in the drafting team are, where we're getting at. So I propose that we do this part segment by segment. We keep it rather short, and we treat it a bit like a cheese or wine or whiskey tasting, where we do not go into wordsmithing, but we see what's going on. We see what the discussions and the arguments are within the group, so they can inform our work in the coming week or weeks. So I hope that that's acceptable. And herewith, I would like to invite the members of the drafting team to comment, and whoever wants to go first, Tatiana, Greg, Matthew. Greg's hand is up. Greg, please come in.
Thanks. I'll just begin very generally and perhaps somewhat gingerly, because this is still very much a work in progress. To some extent, the maxim that those who like constitutions and sausages shouldn't watch either of them being made, this document is essentially a sausage factory at the moment. Looking at any part of it as if it is a finished product for the plate, I think will only create indigestion and probably not aid the work of the group over much. But with that introduction, I would also say that you know, unfortunately, the when you change a Google Doc into a Word doc and then turn it into a PDF, you keep the colors of things but not the names. So just so you know, the pink is me. The turquoise is Jorge. And the yellow is Tatiana. And the remaining color, which I think is the purple, is Matthew. So I hope that's helpful in trying to see who said what. And maybe one day we can work out a way to get the names in there. Perhaps another issue of management is perhaps to begin the comment with our name so that when it converts over, it's in the box. But going past process to...